It is game week. That's right. The Tennessee Titans will take on the New York Giants this Sunday, September 11th, to kick off the 2022 NFL season. A lot to get to before that, though. Harold Landry is out with an injury. Josh Gordon is in with a lot of baggage and history with him. The offensive line is set. That's been a hot topic of conversation throughout this offseason and much more. We will get to as much of it as we can in this episode of Believe in Titans podcast. And before we get going, I must note that this episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting to props and futures. Head to BetOnline and use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, gentlemen, Denard Walker, John Glennon, as I said, it is game week. Are we pumped? Are we excited? Are we ready to go?
Fired up. Hey, let's go. Let's get into it. We got 17 weeks of this. Let's do it.
We'll start with the bad news. Bad news is last week, the first official post-training camp practice, Harold Landry tears an ACL. He's out for the year. We've talked about how much an effective pass rush helps the secondary. Harold Landry has led this team in sacks each of the last 3 years. He was in the top 10 in the NFL last year. So, Denard Walker, how much more difficult has the secondary's job become without Harold Landry in that front seven for this season?
Well, it's tough. You know, that's equivalent to you losing a Javon curse, you know, losing a freak. There's so much production. And you're looking at a player like Harold, who was just coming into his own last year. Look at the sacks. What was he, 10th in the league in sacks, 12 sacks last year. And he's been productive since coming out of Boston College in 2018. And he had 4 sacks as a rookie. And then in 2021, you have 12. And you wonder why the defensive line last year wreaked havoc. It was because of the play of Harold Landry. And I'm going to miss him. And when I see this, when a guy has just signed a 5-year contract extension in the offseason and he tears his ACL, it's a demoralizing feeling. And I can't empathize with him because I've never been hurt, but my heart goes out to him because he is a difference maker. And I'm not, when I always say David, stats are misleading, it is when you come to a player like Harold, because what he brings, he just brings a different mentality. He galvanizes that defense with his play. And one matchup that I was anticipating watching Sunday against the Giants is the Giants have a rookie right tackle, Evan Neal, out of Alabama. And I know in my heart that Harold is going to line up right at that guy. He's going to find Evan Neal. And all of a sudden, that was a matchup that I said so favorable for Tennessee that can be a difference maker in the game. And we're not going to see that. So once again, it's going to be hard. But again, the theme for this season, or last season, excuse me, David, was the next man up mentality, or like we like to call it at ESPN Chattanooga, was you find strength in numbers. So again, who's going to step up in his absence? Because that will be the difference on how far this team might go this year in 2022.
I think strength in numbers is the key thing to say about this too. I mean, Harold Landry has played basically 90% of the snaps on defense the last 3 years. That in and of itself is a huge thing. And you know, there's not a lot of guys in the NFL who can play that many snaps, let alone be productive consistently and do that. So you're going to have to rely on several guys, you know, maybe a first and second down guy and a pass guy, and then this different guy in a package. It's going to be it is going to be an all hands on deck sort of thing, I think, particularly early on to do that. John Glennon, you wrote earlier in the offseason at alltitans@si.com that you know, like, we look at the sacks with Harold Landry, I think, first and foremost, but that hardly tells the story of his game either. I mean, this is a guy who would and will drop into coverage. You know, talked about really wanting to get better in that regard. He's a guy who lines up at different spots around the defense. You know, give us a sense of the big picture of all the things that Harold Landry did for this defense the last 3 years.
Yeah, I think what the Titans, of course, are going to miss most, you know, a few different things. One is kind of that speed rush element. You know, the Titans have a lot of good pass rushers still, but I'm not sure they have anybody like Harold Landry's style. That was the signature move of Harold Landry, getting that jump around the corner. He had that great bend where he could either get to the quarterback or push the quarterback up. And I think, you know, some of the other rushers, you know, we're talking about Bud Dupree, Rashad Weaver, and, you know, Denico Autry and so forth. All those guys are excellent pass rushers, but none bring that element, you know, of speed to the pass rush. I think, you know, your flexibility too, you talked about, you know, Pro Football Focus always breaks down, you know, the snaps at different positions. Harold Landry is a guy that played over 100 snaps at four different spots technically last year. Left outside linebacker, right outside linebacker, and then you talk about the kind of the hybrid positions, Leo and the REO, which are kind of a combination defensive end and outside linebacker. So over 100 snaps at all four of those positions. So you could play him all over the place, and he did do a little bit more coverage also than a lot of the other edge rushers as well. All that said, you know, I think it could, you know. It could be worse for the Titans in terms of what position this major injury has come at. And I say that because, you know, you still do have Denico Autry played a lot on the edge last year. I still think he goes outside, especially on the early downs. You know, we've seen a lot of flashes from Rashad Weaver. You know, he only played, you know, a handful of snaps his rookie year, but I think there's a lot of potential there. Ola Aina is another guy who's shown flashes outside as well. So I think there's still a lot of depth there, but it's what Harold Landry brings, the flexibility, his style with the speed rush. Those to me are the things that the Titans are going to miss most.
It was really interesting talking to guys in the locker room on Monday also about what sort of is coming for Harold Landry. Bud Dupree, for example, you know, who went through this rehab over the last year or so, he talked about how challenging it's going to be mentally, that there are times that you wonder if you're ever going to be the same. There are times that you wonder if you're going to get through it, you know, because you're in pain so much and whatnot. And Bud Dupree even said it is not a game changing injury for guys. It is a life changing injury because you have to you're tested in so many ways that you have to trust the process. And, you know, medical science has come a long way. That it was, what, 20, 30 years ago, this was a career-ending injury for a lot of guys. And, you know, we've talked at how often this offseason about Robert Woods and how quickly he's come back from it. But that really struck me listening to Bud Dupree in particular, because Harold Landry is a guy who is deeply thoughtful. And you know, he's talked about this some over the years, and coaches have talked about this over the years. He's not a guy that you just say, "Harold, you know, put your left hand in the ground this way and make sure you have three fingers down and push off your right foot and go and you'll be fine." Like Harold digests everything in a really deep, serious way. And that part of, you know, dealing with that part of the injury, I think is going to be, it is going to be hard for him, maybe harder for him than some other guys, but he's, you know, there's certainly no questions about his work ethic or his determination, or, you know, I don't think anyone has any worries that he's going to get through it, but as deeply as he thinks things, I think it's going to be a real challenge for him in that way. We mentioned at the top, Josh Gordon, an interesting addition to the wide receiver group. This is a player who has baggage in this league, has had multiple year long suspensions, indefinite suspensions from the NFL. He put up huge numbers in 2013 and said on Monday in the locker room that he can still run, and we might see it sooner rather than later. There's no doubt this wide receiver group needs something more, I think, than what it has. But is Josh Gordon the right guy? Denard Walker, you were here in 2000, for example, when Carl Pickens came. Carl Pickens, you know, didn't have substance abuse issues and whatnot, but had a reputation as sort of a tough guy in the locker room, to, you know, that maybe needed some guidance and whatnot. What is, you know, how does the locker room, do you think, how do they take in a guy like Josh Gordon? What is that process to sort of making him fit in and fit in well?
Well, when John sent me the email and I had a chance to go through and read about Josh's situation, listen, this is a personal issue for me because I know Josh. I don't know him personally, but I've watched Josh since he was coming out of Baylor. Josh is a player right now at 31 years old. He should be mentioned in the same sentence if he didn't violate the league's substance abuse programs. What happened with Josh is, when you're as talented as he is, he should be getting ready, capping off a career where we're talking about him potentially being a Hall of Famer. That's how talented Josh Gordon is. He is one of the most talented individuals that, David, in the past 15 years I've seen out of a receiving core. You're talking about a player that is 6'3", 225 pounds. And what you love about Josh is that when he got into the league in 2012 with Cleveland, he had a productive rookie year. But that second year, he
blew the lid off.
He blew the lid off. It was like, okay, this is the new era of Randy Moss. This is Randy Moss in, you know, 2012, 2013, from here on out. And I was saying to myself, this is the same player that you saw flashes at Baylor. I mean, he was just absolutely dismantling defensive backs at that size and speed. No one can handle him. But what was so disturbing is that after the 2013, he would only play, he played another 4 years and just 11 games in 4 years because of his substance abuse. And that, to me, is really what hurt his career. You know, Josh is amazing. He's talented. Unfortunately, like you just alluded to, David, he has a lot of baggage. But I'm going to say this, David, he's 31 years old now. So I'm wondering, is he more mature now at 31? How long has he been clean? How long has he been sober? Because this is the problem with Josh. This is what has held Josh down, you know, since 2013, is his problems off the field. It's never been an issue when he gets on the field, because when he's on the field, he's typically the best player on that field. That's how talented he is. The problem is that now, will we see the old Josh Gordon that we saw in Cleveland, or will we see the Josh Gordon that went to New England in 2018, again, took himself off the team voluntarily, then after the following year, 2019, what he goes to, New England and Seattle, and then after that, I don't know where, he just disappeared. So what will we see? What will we get out of Josh? Because Commissioner Goodall has given Josh a lot of opportunities that I haven't seen him give to other guys.
Yeah, I mean, there is something about him, clearly, that teams in the league are willing to give him another chance after another chance after another chance. John Glennon, you and I talked to Josh Gordon on Monday. So I'll ask you, how confident are you that there's not another suspension coming down the pike for this guy, and how confident are you that he can contribute something on the football field?
I'm more confident that he will not be suspended than that he can contribute. And one of the main reasons why there is simply because the rules have changed. You know, the new CBA from the NFL, you know, to backtrack, it's my understanding anyway, that most of Josh Gordon's substance abuse problems, the vast majority have been marijuana. Mm-hmm. That is what my research says, and that's what I hear. And now under the new CBA rules, it is much, much, much harder to get suspended for marijuana use than it was previously. I think this is only the second year those rules have been in effect. You only get tested, I want to say, you know, once or twice a year. For that, the amount you have to have in your system is much higher in order to lead to any kind of discipline. And the discipline at first is only fines, an increasing number of fines. You really have to be in pretty significant problem in order to get suspended again now. So maybe that helps Josh Gordon in that regard. But in terms of contributions, I have a hard time seeing it, honestly. You know, it strikes me, I guess, a little bit, slightly like the Adrian Peterson signing last year, you know, when they were trying to replace Derrick Henry. You know, Josh Gordon is not Adrian Peterson's age. But still, you're maybe trying to take that, hey, why not take a home run swing at a guy who's, you know, an incredible talent? Why not give it a shot? And I can understand that, you know, as Denard, you were talking about. I mean, this is a 6'3", 225-pound guy who still has speed, you know, who has had some, you know, great seasons, or at least one or two great seasons in his past. But it's been a long time. You know, the last really time that he did anything significant was, you know, 2018. And that was like 41 catches, you know, 737 yards. And four touchdowns, you know, in combination for the Patriots and Browns, you know. And last year, the most recent snapshot we have of Josh Gordon is last year for the pass happy Kansas City Chiefs, who gave him a shot. Now, granted, he came in into the season, so he didn't have a training camp, anything like that. But, you know, he played in 12 games, five catches, 32 yards, and a touchdown. And the Chiefs gave him another shot this year. They invited him back to training camp, signed him. Brought him back to training camp. And this is a Chiefs team that was trying to replace Tyreek Hill. And still, you know, he didn't make it. He didn't make the 53. So I kind of have my doubts. If I'm the Titans, I don't blame him for why not give a guy a shot like this. You know, maybe you have that magic pill or whatever that turns back the clock and brings back some of that great production. But I don't know. I guess I'm kind of skeptical about what the contributions are. And honestly, I look at, you know, there's another guy who's still a free agent. Age, you know, he's not a young guy, but Emmanuel Sanders. Yeah. You know, this is a guy, that's a guy who averaged 15 yards a catch last year in Buffalo on 42 receptions, four touchdowns. Last 2 years before that, he had at least 60 catches. Maybe he's a guy, in my mind, that is a more realistic producer and a more realistic deep threat, you know, at this stage than Josh Gordon.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, a guy who had a really good training camp and preseason was Racy McMath. But if you watched what the Titans were doing, and people talked about how much progress he had made in his second year and whatnot, but for the most part, all they were doing with Racy by the end of training camp was just running him straight down the field, trying to take a safety with him, trying to open up some space. And you know, I don't know that anyone was thinking he was going to catch 50 balls this year or anything like that. If Josh Gordon can still run, I assume that's what the Titans are going to do with him, because Racy McMath, of course, has started the regular season on injured reserve. He's going to miss at least the first four games. So, you know, if I think the Titans are looking for somebody who can run fast enough to attract the attention of a safety and pull him deeper than he wants to be to create some things over the middle. And whether he makes it onto the practice squad, you referenced Adrian Peterson. That's what happened with Peterson last year. They signed him to the practice squad at the start of the week. By the end of the week, he's on the active roster. And after what, three games, they decided that was enough. They moved on. But I'm thinking too about Golden Tate last year. Everybody, it's easy to forget the fact that the Titans added Golden Tate to the practice squad late in the season. He's got a couple years older than Josh Gordon, not significantly older, but a guy who in his day could certainly run, and he never made it onto the active roster, never even was a game day addition to the active roster, and eventually got released. So I assume that what the Titans are looking for from Gordon is an ability to run. And if he doesn't show it on the practice field this week, it's possible he could come and go pretty quickly and we won't ever hear from him. But it feels like a chance worth taking. It's easy to understand why they're rolling the dice to see what they can get from this guy, but I'm with you, John. I don't know that they're going to get much, if anything, from him ultimately. We've got the New York Giants on tap. It's week one. They have a new head coach in Brian Daboll, most recently offensive coordinator from the Buffalo Bills. Their defensive coordinator is Don Wink Martindale, a guy that the Titans know well in recent years from as defensive coordinator with the Ravens. Denard, I'll ask you this. How much of an advantage, an element of surprise is there, I guess, if you will, for a first-year coaching staff in week one? Or is it, there's enough film on what these guys did at other places. You just have to sort of match personnel with philosophies and you're going to be fine in terms of what you game plan for this week.
Well, it's going to be tough because, with the Giants, you don't know what you're going to get. Of course, a first year coach, he has two new coordinators, offensive coordinator Mike Kafka, who comes over from Kansas City. So if you're Tennessee, are you watching Buffalo's offense? Let's say if you're Tennessee defense, are you watching last year Buffalo offense, or are you watching Kansas City? Because now you bring over the former offensive pass coordinator. He wasn't the offensive pass coordinator, but the offensive, quality control, coach. The quarterback coach and passing game coordinator, excuse me. So he brings that Kansas City. Is he going to bring that offense over to New York? Will we see that? So again, and then you look at his supporting cast now. If you look at head coach Brian Daboll, you got a good quarterback in Daniel Jones. But again, he's no Josh Allen. Let's just be honest, but he's a good quarterback. But you look at the supporting cast, it changes. He doesn't have no more Stephon Diggs, no Cole Beasley. Look at the receiving corps, small receivers. In New York, that's what they go out. They've drafted. You're talking about Kadarius Toney out of Florida. You're looking at Kenny Galladay. You're talking about Wandale Robinson. Again, what will you see? You look at their defense. Again, Don Martindale, I know personally. He was when I went to Oakland my first year in 2004, Don was, we call him Martin, Marty. He was the linebackers coach for the Raiders in 2004 and 2005. He's a good football coach. So if you're Tennessee offense, are you watching Baltimore game film this week? Is that how you're going to get ready? Is that how they're going to defense you? So John and David, you just don't know what you're going to get from a first-year coach. I played for the Raiders coach? He's from the Cowboys. The Hall of Famer. I forgot his name. I shouldn't have. How can I forget his name? The great offensive coordinator, North Turner. How in the world could I forget North Turner?
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And that team was all over the place the first game against Pittsburgh because we had guys kind of coming in. You had a lot of new pieces to the puzzle. So we didn't know what we're, you know, you just didn't know. And it took about 3 weeks for that team to get better. It took about 3 weeks for that team to kind of gel together because there were so many new pieces. So once again, you don't know what you're going to get out of this New York Giants, but I can tell you one thing. If you're this Tennessee coaching staff, you're not looking at last year New York's offense or defensive snaps. You're looking at Mike Kafka. You're looking at how they play, how they were able to call offenses and defenses, I mean, at Kansas City. And when you look at Martindale, you're looking at his play of what he was able to do at Baltimore. And that's going to give you an idea of how they might call the game Sunday.
John, if you're Todd Downing or Shane Bowen or Mike Vrabel, what, you know, as you're game planning, what about the Giants particularly concerns you this week?
Yeah, I was going to say the good news for the Titans is, you know, all those coaches for the Giants that Denard just mentioned, you know, certainly come from some very impressive programs. But the good news for the Titans is they don't have the personnel that they did at those other teams.
And they faced all those guys in the last couple of years. You know, they've faced Kansas City a few times.
Yeah,
they
right.
faced Buffalo, what, 4 or 5 years in a row. They, you know, they faced Baltimore. Like it's not just watching film. It's sort of reminding yourself what these guys do.
Right. Right. But yeah, like I say, obviously there's no Josh Allen or Pat Mahomes or the Ravens D that came along with those coaches. So that's a plus, but yeah, it's interesting. You know, it appears at first glance, you know, almost like an opening, you know, trap game in some respects for the Titans, because you just look at the Giants and there is that element of surprise because of the new coaching staff. But you just look at a team that struggled so badly last year, 4-13. They lost their last 6 games. They were 1-8 on the road last year. You know, and I know they've made some changes, but I just don't see the personnel being, you know, enough to overcome a Titans team that should be on their toes after what happened in last year's season opener. So concerns for me for the Giants, I do, you know, there are some skill position players that, you know, have the potential to be pretty good. You know, Kenny Galladay, I think the rookie out of Kentucky, I thought it is interesting to me. The Wandale Robinson, the little slot guy, has got speed. You know, and everybody seems to be talking about how both Kadarius Toney and Saquon Barkley, of course, are you know, going to be better this year than they were in the past, too. The issue, of course, for the Giants is you still got Daniel Jones at quarterback. And honestly, I think he is more of a threat as a runner than he is as a passer. For the most part. So yeah, I think, you know, if the Titans are on their game, you know, this should be a W for them. Two more reasons to believe things might turn out well. Two of the keys defensively for the Giants, two of their young edge, you know, defensive end or edge rushers, Azeez Ojulari, 8 sacks last year, and Kayvon Thibodeau, who was the 5th overall pick in this year's draft, basically are coming off injury. They practiced today very, very little, and there seems to be a lot of skepticism over whether they'll either play or have a significant role against the Titans. So two more reasons right there to think the Titans might be the better team on Sunday.
Yeah, good news for that revamped Titans offensive line that maybe they're not going into the deep end with the Giants' best rushers there. And it's interesting when I think about Daniel Jones, a guy who was a first-round pick in 2019. You know, I'm of a mindset. People talked about Marcus Mariota and how early in his career had 4 different head coaches, 5 different offensive coordinators, and what kind of detrimental effect that maybe had to his development. Well, Daniel Jones is on his 3rd coaching staff in 4 years in the league now. And, you know, I'm wondering, is this going to be a guy who's, you know, can they lock in with him right off the bat and get him going? Or is he going to be out there, you know, thinking too much, kind of confused, still trying to translate things? You know, that's going to be curious to me. But if you ask Kevin Byard, and we did ask Kevin Byard this week, he says it's all about Saquon Barkley. You know, that's a guy who hasn't been a dynamic player really since his rookie year when he was the offensive rookie of the year, led the league in total yards and all that. But Kevin Byard stressed that that everything on defense has to start with getting to Saquon Barkley, getting multiple bodies to him and getting him to the ground. And the Titans actually played the Giants in Barkley's rookie year. And one of Barkley's worst games of that season was against Tennessee. He had 41 yards, I believe it was, rushing, and 17 of them came on one carry. The rest of the, you know, the rest of the day, they kept him under wraps. The Titans won that game 17-0. It was the first shutout of the Mike Vrabel era. So I would assume that there's going to be a lot of discussion about this is what we did the last time. Yes, the schemes have changed and whatnot, but this element of defending the Giants and Saquon Barkley, for example, has to stay the same. Denard, I'll ask you, I would assume it'll be a good crowd and, you know, opening weekend, coming off two division championships, all that sort of thing. How good is Nissan Stadium for a player when it's full and when it's loud and what have you? I mean, what kind of, just how good a home field advantage is that?
Well, your crowd, that's your home. That's your 12th man. You know, you know, one of the things that Coach Fisher used to emphasize was take care of home. If you usually take care of home, that typically puts you in a position for some reason to have a successful season. You know, you don't want to go home and lay an egg. That's one thing you don't want to do is play in your own stadium and just look bad. And not to mention this Titans fan base, they have a bad taste in their mouth for what happened in the playoffs. So again, they're itching to get this bad taste out of their mouth. So again, Sunday, I expect it to be loud. I expect the crowd to be rocking because it's a new season. There's a lot of optimism. This is a team that's coming off of 12-5, number one seed in the AFC. So again, the expectations are higher because unfortunately in this business, everything changes year after year. So again, I'm looking forward to watching Tennessee Sunday, and not to mention the way that they played last year, that first game of the season against Arizona, they don't want to come out and lay an egg and that, let that be the theme of the season. I expect this team to come out on fire. I think you're going to get a heavy dose of the King. And when you look at this defensive line for New York, I like Leonard Williams. That's when I identify the playmakers of that team. I like the big cat. He is a monster since his days at the Jets and then coming to the Giants, being traded to the Giants. And then you talk about their little banged up with Thibodeau and Ojulari. So, again, if you're the Tennessee Titans offensive line, you have to have the mentality. We're going to dominate this front, get the run game going early, get this crowd pumped. And then what we're going to do is start feeding those receivers and implement those players in the game plan. But again, you're going to see a heavy dose of the King. I think they're going to rock. It's going to be exciting when the King get going Sunday.
All right, let's look down the road. Let's do this. Go through this quickly. It is the start of the season. This is what we do. 18 weeks from now, Denard Walker, what will the Titans' record be?
I've called it 2 years in a row.
Is that right?
Yes. Yes, and last year I said there would be 12-5. This year, if they
pressure's
can stay
on,
healthy,
then
if they stay healthy this year, I'm going to go 13-4. Why not? Why not?
All right,
but they're not healthy.
I know. <That's right. laughs> So let's go with 12-5 again.
John Glennon, what do you see as the Titans' record and why?
I'm going to go. I'm torn between 11-6 and 10-7. I'll give the I'll be the homer guy and give them the home team the benefit of the doubt. I'll go 11-6. You know, they've got some very difficult road games, so I think that's where probably they're going to suffer most of their losses, at Buffalo, at Kansas City, Green Bay, at the Chargers, at Indy, and I think Cincinnati's going to be tough to beat at home. So that to me is where I would look at the six losses, but. You know, I still, as we talked about, I still think without Harold Landry, I still think that's a high quality defense, good enough to overshadow or help overcome a not so good offense. So I think they're going to win this division again, and I think it's going to be 11-6.
Wow, I should have gone in reverse order here because I'm going to be the wet blanket to finish this up. I, David Beauclair, I'm thinking 9-8. I think
Wow.
this roster is
Whoa.
not as good as it was in some spots. It's older in some spots. The Landry injury, maybe I'm wrong, and I hope for Titans fans' sake I'm wrong, but it feels like sort of a bad omen to me. It's sort of like a black cloud rolled in right at the
Wow,
start of the season.
David
But
Beauclair.
I will say, I think 9-8 might still be good enough to win the division. I don't think, I'm not sold on Matt Ryan solving all the Colts problems and whatnot. Certainly we've talked about the Jaguars and Texans, how far they have to go. I don't think either one of those two is a threat to win the division. So, 9-8 might still be good enough, but it just feels like this season has to be a step back. The X factor, of course, is Derrick Henry. If Derrick Henry is healthy and runs like we saw in 2019 and 2020, then they're a whole different team. But until I see that, I'm gonna remain a bit more skeptical than you guys. But that's all in good fun, and we will have one game in the books next week. And we will certainly talk to you again at that time. And until then, Denard Walker, thank you.
Thank you, David. Don't show your face in the locker room next week.
John Glennon, thank you.
All right, thank you.
And I'm David Beauclair. This is the Believe in Titans podcast.